Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's All the Way In for Friday, July 31st. I'm your host, Deborah Lake, recording live from Chicago. It's 5 p.m. Central Time, and we've got a fantastic show for you this evening. Tonight's episode is titled, Who Would Have Thought? Running a Marathon in Over 50. So sit back, relax, and if you haven't already, get your pen and paper in case you want to jot down a few things during the program. While you're doing that, I'll give a brief description of our new program. All the Way In helps you recognize, claim, and live your life by using my 12 principles for living all the way in your life. You can find out more about these principles at Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H-E, Lake.com. Tonight, we're focusing on the first principle, which is no plan B. Every time we make a plan to do something, and we take the time and the energy to make a plan B, we tell ourselves that we think we will fail. We not only tell ourselves that we will fail, we take our energy, our attention, and our time away from getting what we want and spend that on failing. So here we are all plan A people. And during tonight's show, I will be talking about training for my first marathon, and I'll do this in three sections. I'll talk about the body, mind, and spirit. Tonight's episode focuses on body. Training to run a marathon changes your life. At least that's what I heard people say over and over in March and April when I was thinking about whether I wanted to do this or whether I could do this. It was pretty obvious that if I decided to follow through with this, I would be changed. I would be different. But I really didn't have any idea how much I would change. Now I'm in my 14th week of training, and the experience has been one that I'll never forget. Marathon training is intense. Your body is pushed to do more work than ever. And that's why I think that one of the most important things is to learn how to listen to what your body is telling you it needs and give it what your body needs. Listen to your body and give it what it needs. But before we go any further, I'd like to talk a little bit about health and medical health and things like that. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an expert in any kind of medical field. And if you're thinking about running a marathon, you want to make sure that you go to your doctor and let him or her know what you're thinking about doing. And be sure to follow your doctor's suggestions and be in contact with your doctor throughout the whole training. If you're on any kind of medication or anything like that, that's something that you need to follow through with and talk about as you think and if you decide to run a marathon. The fact that I'm over 50, and I'm not going to say how much over 50, the fact that I am over 50 was something that I definitely had to think about while I was deciding. As far as I can tell, most people who run marathons are younger than 50 plus. This is my first one, so I don't have running in my background. The most I have run that I had run before was 2 miles, and that was when I was in my 30s. Over the last 6 or 7 years, I had not even been that physically active, I said I worked out at the gym, but that was quite sporadic. When I was younger, though, I was quite active, and I think this had something. It helped me. I played basketball. I took karate. I was very active. And the lessons and the things that I learned back then is still useful today. So overall, one of the things that we need to do is to listen to our bodies, talk to our doctors, stay in communication, get a coach. I have a great coach, Aaron, if you're listening. Hi. Listen to your coach, and if you're on medication, take that and learn how the medication will affect your ability to run. Now I'm going to move on to diet. Every marathon has to be aware of what and how he or she is eating. But I think as an older person, I need to pay even more attention to my diet because I don't have the cushion that comes with youth. I have to make sure that I keep myself hydrated, and because one of the things that I know and knew before was that as we age, as all of us age, we become more dehydrated far more quickly. I also had to think about what I needed to cut out of my diet. And this was a surprise. I had to cut out I had to cut down the amount of coffee that I drank. Before I started training, it wasn't much. I drank one cup of coffee with sugar every day, every morning. As I started longer runs, though, I found that I did better with less coffee. So I cut down on it. Until now, I might drink one cup of coffee a week, if then. Also, before training, I would enjoy a glass of wine or a couple of beers here and there. And I made the decision to not drink any alcohol during the training period until after I run the marathon because of the hydration issue. Alcohol dehydrates us, all of us. So I wanted to give my body every chance that it needed to work at its peak performance. So the food I eat or don't eat makes a difference in how well I run, especially on the long runs. I can give you a personal example. I've learned that I don't do well eating animal protein. It takes my body longer to process that type of protein. I function better when I eat more fruit and vegetables and complex carbohydrates like brown rice, beans, whole wheat bread, whole wheat pasta, oatmeal, things like that. And to get my protein for my muscles when they need to recover, which is after every run, definitely, and when they need to function while I'm running, I eat eggs, fish, tofu, soy cheese, and things that have other types of protein in it. So it will be important for you to find what your body needs and learn what kinds of food will allow your body to function at its peak. There are things that are generally true, like running calls for an increase in carbohydrates and recovering muscles need protein. But the particulars of how you give your body what it needs in general and in particular could vary from one person to the next. And that's where it becomes very important for you to be able to take the time to pay attention to how your body feels before you run, during your run, and after your runs. Listen and keep a dialogue with yourself. Keep a list of all the food and everything that you eat and drink during the week, and compare that to how you feel during your runs, before your runs, and after your runs. And you'll find that you'll get information that you can tweak that's based on your body's needs. So, the next thing is not my favorite topic. It's heat. Tomorrow, which is Saturday, I'll be running for 20 miles for the first time. We'll be running along the lake, and it's supposed to be like in the 80s. So, it's going to be hot tomorrow, and I'll be running in that hot weather. And heat and I don't get along all that well. I struggle. I get tired, and I need to pay close attention to how the heat is affecting me during a run, especially the long ones. You might find this true for yourself as well. You might also not do well in heat. Now, I'll share some things that I do just to kind of begin to help with this. We do one long run, which is on Saturdays, and then two during the week, shorter. So I do my shorter runs later in the day when it's hotter so that I can give my body a little time to become acclimated to heat without having to be out there for a long time. I also cut down on the time that I use air conditioning in the car, in my house, so that I can just get used to being hot. Now, when you think of running in the heat, and I'm talking 80s and 90s, high 70s, that's heat to me, I want to encourage you to learn all that you can about the symptoms that come with heat exhaustion and heat stroke. Those are two different things, two different topics, and both topics are beyond the scope of this show. But I can give you some short information, brief, and you can also email me later. I'll give you some information about how to get in touch with me for resources that I'll send you. When you are dealing with heat exhaustion, that comes before the heat stroke. You want to address the heat exhaustion before it develops into heat stroke. When you feel extremely tired, your muscles are very, very weak, or you're nauseated, or your head feels hot to the touch, or you have a headache, or it's time for you to get out of the sun. Get out of the sun, get into the shade, get some water, and get some rest. And you might even need to stop running and just pick it up another day. So that's the short. There's a lot more information about heat, and you can get resources about heat and about the other topics that I'm covering in this episode by emailing me at allthewayin@deborahelake.com. If you want information about a particular resource, just put that in there, heat, rest, whatever. But if you want just general resources, I can do that as well. So let's move on to flexibility. Flexibility is important so that your tendons and ligaments can work together with your muscles and you can get the best out of each stride that you take. You have strong muscles, flexible tendons, flexible body, and you can get the most out of each stride. I like to think about this in like a rubber band. You want the rubber band to be flexible enough to stretch, but you don't want to stretch it so far that it breaks. And the farther you can stretch a rubber band without breaking it down, the stronger the rubber band pops, the harder it pops when it gets back, right, when you turn one of the ends loose. So stretching daily is important. Now, when you stretch, remember that you want to move intentionally and smoothly. We don't want to bounce, you know, bend over and touch your toes and bounce, bounce, bounce. You don't want to do that. If you're reaching for your toes, do it slowly and smoothly and go to the point where you feel just a little bit of discomfort, not pain, just a little discomfort, and then you hold it for a few seconds and relax. And one of the things that I found that works for me is breathing. Breathe in very slowly and out. That helps my body relax, and I think it might work the same for you as well. I have a little short story I can tell you about this that relates to stretching. I think I was running 8 miles, maybe 7 or 6 somewhere, and I don't remember the exact number of miles. But early in the run, I pulled my hamstring, and it felt like a really hard cramp that just stopped me. It was so strong that it stopped me. And I thought I was going to have to stop completely and just go home for the day. But I knew what it was, and this is an example also of the past activities that I had and learning how to work with my body as a younger person in basketball or things like that. I knew what a cramp felt like, and I know when it's sharp, you need to stop completely. But I was at the point, right at that edge, so I decided to stretch and walk and run. Stretch, walk, and run. You just take it very slowly, and that got me through. And I was able to finish the mileage for that day. Then the week that came up after that, I spent recuperating and healed. So stretching is also a way to find out where your body is weak or out of alignment. And alignment is important because if one side of your body is off, the other side has to work harder or in a different way than it should or wants to. For instance, in my routine stretch, I learned that my left hip and leg, they're more flexible than my right. This information was useful to me because at the same time, I was having a little trouble with my knee on my right side. So finding out that I wasn't as flexible on my right side as I was on my left let me say, maybe there's something going on here. And my leg is getting thrown out, and that's putting too much pressure on my knee. So I was able to correct the problem through stretching and also weightlifting. And we'll talk a little bit about weightlifting later in the episode. But first, let's take a short break. I want you to know about an important resource for you and your family. And when we come back, we'll move into strength.
I didn't know my son was gay. I found out after he told me he had AIDS. I'm a good mother. I love my son. But being gay goes against everything I believe in. I was too ashamed to talk to anyone about this. I was angry. I blamed him for bringing this on himself. I blamed him for embarrassing me and my family. His doctor gave me a copy of Your Neighbor Has AIDS. I still struggle some, but at least now I can be a mother to my baby because he needs me now more than ever.
If you want help coping with a loved one's HIV status, get Your Neighbor Has AIDS by Deborah E. Link. Available now for $17.95 at deborahelake.com, amazon.com, or bordersbooks.com.
Okay, we're back, and we are talking about strength now. One of the things that I have found useful in getting ready to run my first marathon is to cross-train. That means doing something other than running. I go to a local gym here, and I work out once or twice a week, depending on how the runs are going. When I do that, I use weights, and I pay special attention to my legs, my hips, my shoulders, and my core. The core of your body includes your back, your abdomen, and your chest, the muscles that are there. That's important because the core is what keeps you upright, along with your legs and things. I also work on my arms because it's important to have strong arms as well. The stronger you are, the more endurance you will have, and the longer you'll be able to run with less difficulty. Now, one of the things, if you decide that you want to go into the cross training and use weights, you're not lifting for bulk. And remember, muscle weighs more than fat, and the more you weigh, the more you're going to have to work to get from one spot to the next, from 1 mile to the next. Because your muscles are heavier. So you're not lifting for weight to bulk up. You want to lift as much as you can easily and do a lot of repetitions, like 12, 15 repetitions. Instead of, I don't know, if you go to the gym, you can see people lifting a lot of weight, almost as much as they can carry, and they can barely do 8 reps or 10. That's not what you're doing. You're lifting for strength, not bulk. And I think this might be a good place to talk about sleep, because it's reminding me that when I started really lifting weights and doing it regularly, I found that I needed more sleep than I thought I should have. And this little segue will take us into the next topic, which is rest. One thing to remember is that you will need more sleep than you are accustomed to, especially if you're older. Again, like I said, when you're younger, you have more of a cushion. I can remember being out all night and just having fun and getting up and doing what I needed to do the next day without a lot of trouble. Well, as you get older, that's not quite as true. So be prepared to, as your body's metabolism speeds up, be prepared to have to get more sleep. And don't fight it. Don't feel like it's too early to go to bed. Running will automatically make you stronger, especially your legs and your back and your buttocks. And this alone will speed up your metabolism, and that will make you need more rest. Now, if you do a little cross-tape training as well, your metabolism might even be kicked up some more. So try to remember to accommodate that and get the rest that you need, which leads us to rest. Make sure that you're able to get the rest that you need. When I first started training, I made the mistake of thinking that I could carry my usual workload and run the long runs on Saturday. I felt good because I was getting stronger and losing weight and eating better, so I did more between runs, and put me in what I call a rest deficit. And when you're in a rest deficit, something has to give. You're getting more and more tired, and you're trying more and more, and something is going to give. And during this time, I struggled to complete my weekly long runs, and finally I wasn't able to finish. Between not knowing exactly what my body needed for food and fuel and trying to do the same thing I did before, there was one time when I could not finish. I just couldn't. So now I make sure that I get at least 8 to 10 hours of sleep, and I take it easy. I take it easy, and you would want to do that too. Give yourself a break. Take care of yourself. The experts, and like I said, I'm not an expert. I'm just sharing what I know. The experts say that you will need 8 to 10 hours of sleep when you're training to run a marathon. And while we're thinking about taking it easy on yourself, I'm going to say a little bit about weight loss. If you're thinking about running a marathon to lose weight, I would suggest that you search for another reason to motivate you. And I say that because, one, you will ultimately lose weight during the training because your body will be doing work that it hasn't done before. But running to lose weight, in my opinion, can't be your sole motivation. And I see two main reasons for this. First, if you're concerned about losing weight primarily, you will not have the focus that you need to listen to your body and make the adjustments in your diet and your life routine and your attitude to be successful in the marathon. You'll be more concentrated on listening, not losing the weight, and your relationship will be with the scales rather than with your body. The second reason is cutting calories and cutting fat could very easily interfere with your ability to have the stamina that you need to run long runs like 18, 17, 20, 26.2 miles. That's a lot to do. So you need to have the calories and have the fuel. Your body will have to have the fuel that it needs to be able to do this. So, run in a marathon. I'm running to raise money to stop AIDS, and that's what motivates me. I do that for that reason. Everything else is a plus for me, an unexpected plus, but a plus. So what you would have to do is find your motivation that's deep and that will get you through the very, very rough times when you're out there by yourself and wondering if you can put one foot in front of the other. So that's all that I have for the body segment, except one other thing. If you decide that training for and running in a marathon is in your future, remember that it's important to have one plan. Forget about having a plan B, right? My plan was to show up, follow the routine, follow the program, listen to my coach, and take it wherever this process takes me. That's my plan. From now on, we're all at plan A people. Follow that plan, listen to your body, and take care of yourself. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. Tune in tomorrow at 2 p.m. Central for the Sunday sermon edition of All the Way In. The title of my sermon will be All the Way Bold. The text will be Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. And the principle will be, fear is your foe. Work to remove it from your heart. Let me hear from you. Send me your emails. Send them to allthewayin@deborahelake.com. Email me with your questions, your comments, or to get the resources that I will send to you, and it will start you on your journey. You can also follow us on Twitter, and you can find that on our page for the show. You can download us now on iTunes and listen to the shows as they come and as many times as you want. I'm also, you know, running to raise money to stop AIDS, and if you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation, go to my website, deborahelake.com, and click on the red and black marathon logo. You'll get all the details you need. All donations are directly for the AIDS Foundation and go directly to the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. Please give generously. This is Blog Talk Radio, All the Way In for Friday, July 31st. I'm Deborah Lake, here to let you know that you can recognize, claim, and live in your life. Good night.